Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tzadi. We are holding on Daf Peitas on Mitbeis, 6 lines from the end of the page. Umi Matzis Mukmat La Bishlil. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, the Nesham Shav and Aliyah. It's also sponsored by Chani and JJ Hornblast in memory of Mayor Penstein, Zichron Levracha, Chani's father, whose yard site is today. He is missed very much, his Nesham Shav and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to continue our discussion from yesterday about why the Mishnah had to tell me that the Isra of Gira Nasha is Noeg B'Muktashim. Why would I think otherwise? Meaning if you have an animal that has a Gira Nasha, that's Aser, and all of a sudden you're Maktashit and the Isra of Gira Nasha goes away? So obviously it's Noeg B'Muktashim. So we had mentioned yesterday that no, maybe the Chiddush is about a Shalil, it's about a fetus of Muktashim that the Chiddush is about, and we're going to discuss that possibility even further. Then the Gemara is going to have three different ways to understand what is an apparent machlokas, but according to two of the possibilities, it's not a machlokas at all between Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Yochanan about whether the Isser Gid applies to kachim she'enu ne'echalim, to those kachim that do not get eaten. So we have three ways of understanding what Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Yochanan are talking about when they seem to be arguing whether there's an Isser Gid on kachim she'enu ne'echalim. Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether they burn the gid of a carbon ola together with the rest of the carbon, or if it gets thrown straight onto the tapuach, which is this pile of ashes that's in the middle of the mizbeach, but it does not get burnt with the rest of the carbon. And once we're talking about the tapuach, the Gemara talks about a number of places where the chachamim, and not just the chachamim, but even Tanakh speaks in exaggerated terms. And the reason we get into that topic is because the way they describe this pile of ashes defies any possible logic that a pile of ashes of that size would ever fit on the Mizbeach. So it is obviously speaking in exaggerated terms. So we talk about other times that we speak in exaggerated terms. Then the Gemara is going to tell us that according to the Chacham, the Isur Gira Nasha is knowing on both the right side and the left side of the animal. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only on one side of the animal. But we're not sure. We have a Shaila, does Rabbi Yehuda certain which side it was on, that it's for sure on the right side, or is Rabbi Yehuda himself mesupak which side the Isser Gid applies to, the right side or the left side? The Gemara is going to try to bring a raya as to what Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is, whether he was sure or mesupak, and the Gemara is going to have three rejections of that raya, and that will already bring us into tomorrow's daf. So let's begin. We're 6 lines from the end of the page on daf pei tesam beis, and we just got through saying that when the Mishnah tells me that the Isser Gid is knowing b'muktashim, it must be talking about a Vlad Hegdish, and it must be talking about a Shalil, that when it's still a fetus, that the Isser Gid, the Chiddush, that the Isser Gid is going to be knowing. Because if the Isser of Hegdish were there first, then Ein Isser Chalal Isser. The Isser Gid would not be able to be Chal on the Isser of Hegdish. So it has to be that it's a Shalil where the Isser Gid and the Isser of Hegdish are Bahadeh Adadi Ka'asi. They come at the same time, and therefore they could both be chal. So mi masas mukmat la bishlil. But can you really say that when the Tana says noeg b'mukdashim, that it's dafka talking about a shlil v'amiduktani seifa? But the seifa goes on to say noeg b'shlil mechal deresh alav b'shlil askinan. The seifa first introduces the possibility of a gira nasha on a fetus. So it sounds like the resh is not talking about that. So achi kamar says the Gemara, no, here's how to read the Mishnah, that dover zeh, this very issue which we already referred to in the Reisha about a Gid Anash of a Shalil, is a Machlokas. Rabbi the Rabbanan is in fact a Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Isra of Gid Anash is not knowing on a Shalil, and according to the Rabbanan, it is. Umi Matzus Amrit, it's a Travai Ba'adi Adadi Kasu. But still, can you say that the Isra of Gid Anash and the Isra of Hektish are Chal at the same exact time? Is that really true? That on a fetus, whenever the status of Hegdish is going to be Chal on the fetus, it's at that very moment that the Gira Nasha becomes Aser? But Vatanan, we have a Mishnah in Meseches Nazir, a al elu tumas hanazir megaleach, that the following types of tuma are severe enough that a nazir would have to be megaleach all of his hair and have to restart his count of nazirus al hameis ve'al kazayis min hameis. And the first two items on the list are if he's metami to a mace or if he's metami to a kazayis min hameis. Right? If a nazir becomes tame to nevela or to a sheretz, so he's tame, he needs to go through a tara process, but it has nothing to do with his nazirus. It's not soser his nazirus. He doesn't need to restart his nazirus. It's only mace, kezayis, the kashala. And we say, wait, right off the bat, the first two items on the list are redundant. Al kezayis mina mace megaleach al kulo lo kolshkein. If he's going to have to be megaleach for being metame to a kezayis mina mace, then obviously he's going to have to be megaleach for being metame to a mace shalem, to an entire mace. So why does it have to mention al mace? Just say al kezayis mina mace, and I'll figure out that a whole mace also, obviously. Vam Rabbi Yochanan explains, lo nitzchel le nefel. The reason the Mishnah has to say that he's metami, that he's megaleach when he's metami to a mace is because it's talking about a nefel, a fetus at the beginning of the pregnancy, shalonikshru evarav begidin, where it's so undeveloped, it's so at the beginning of the pregnancy that the limbs are not yet connected with sinews with each other. So alma isra muktashim kadam. So it sounds according to Rabbi Yochanan that the isra muktashim precedes the isra of giranasha. Because the Yisra of Mekdashim is at the Yitziras Havlad, but the Yisra of Giranasha is only after it has Gidim. So if it doesn't have Gidim yet, if it's at an early stage where there are no Gidim, so the Yisra of Mekdashim came first. Oh, well, if the Yisra of Mekdashim came first, then why is the Yisra Gid Chal at all? Again, we're trying to explain the line in the Mishnah where we said that the Yisra Gid applies to Mekdashim. So he said it's either Pashut or it's wrong, right? If you're talking about a Behema that was a regular Behema and then you were Makdashit, obviously the Yisra Gid applies. Where would the Yisra Gid go away to? It was there the whole time. And if you're talking about a behema that was huktash before the Yisra Gid was ever chal, that was already kadosh before the Yisra Gid was already chal, well, then ain't Yisra chal al Yisra. It would need to be that they're chal mamish at the same time. So it seems that you have a vlad hegdish, it becomes hegdish immediately at the Yitziris of vlad. But that's before the Gid ever develops. It's before it even has a Gid. Tosos quotes a little bit differently, that the Yisra Mekdashim comes prior to the Yisra Gid, because at the beginning, when the Gid first is formed, it's not attached to the Kaf HaYerech, because that's the whole point, that Rabbi Yochanan said that Shalo Nikshru Eivar of Big Gidin. And if you have a Gid Anasha, but it's not yet on the Kaf HaYerech, so it's not yet Asr. But again, the point is the same, that the Yisra Mekdashim comes first, and if the Yisra Mekdashim comes first, then there shouldn't be an Isser Gid. So answers Gemara, Afagav Disser Mukdashim Kadim, Asi Isser Gid, Chayil Alayu, that even though the Isser of Mukdashim on the Behema comes before the Isser of Gid Anasha, because you're right, at the beginning of the Yitzir Savlad, it's already Hegdish, nevertheless the Isser Gid will be able to be Chal on it. Aye, what about Ein Isser Chal al Isser? Shekein Isura Noig B'Bnei Noach, that you find that the offspring of Yaakov Avinu already prior to Matan Torah had an Isser of Gid Anasha. So you see that it's an Isser Chamur, and an Isser that's more Chamur could be Chal, and an Isser that's less Chamur. What makes it more Chamur? That it applied even to B'nai Noach, that it applied even to the offspring of Yaakov Avinu. The Gemara is going to have in about 10 Dapim from now that Amar Rabbi Yehuda V'Halomi B'nai Yaakov Nesar Gid Anasha V'adayin Behema Tamei Mutaris Lan, that Gid Anasha was also already from B'nai Yaakov, and that was at a time before we had to eat kosher animals. So the Gemara uses that as a raya that the Yisra of Gid Anasha applies even to non-kosher animals, because the Yisra of Gid Anasha applied before we had to keep kosher. It was prior to Matan Torah. But even when we say B'nai Noach, we don't mean all B'nai Noach. We mean the Zera Yaakov. We mean the offspring of Yaakov Avinu. But other B'nai Noach are not chayiv in Gid Anasha. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Kol Mitzvah Shnei B'nai Noach V'lo Nishna Spesinai L'Yisrael Nemrav L'Ol L'B'nai Noach. And anything that was given to Bnei Noach but was not repeated at Sinai was only given to the Jewish people and not to Bnei Noach. So after Matan Torah, they all became mutter in Gidon Asher. The Isra only remains on Bnei Yisrael. That's what Tosos points out, that the Isra only remains on Bnei Yisrael. But anyway, Man Shamet Lehi Svara, who holds this Svara that the Isra Gidon Asher is Noheg by Bnei Yaakov Avinu? So Rabbi Yehuda, Vamas Nisan, Delok Rabbi Yehuda. But our Mishnah, we know, is not like Rabbi Yehuda. So you cannot use the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda to explain our Mishnah and to say that the reason the Yisr of Gidon Asher is going to apply to Mukdashim that were Huktash before the Yisr of Gid was ever Chal is because the Yisr of Gid is an Yisr Chamer like Rabbi Yehuda. We know our Mishnah doesn't call like Rabbi Yehuda. Dikatani, Noeg, Bebehema, Uvachaya, Bayarech Shel Yamin, Ubayarech Shel Smol. Our Mishnah holds that the Yisr of Gidon Asher is Noeg on both sides of the animal. Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is that it's only on one side of the animal. So we know that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. And we're going to come back to that issue of both sides or one side at the very end of the daf. So says Gemara, Hai Tana Savala Kavasei Bechada, Upalgalei Bechada. We're not saying that the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. We're saying that the Tana of our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Yisr of Gidon Asher was Noeg b'Bnei Noach, happens to not hold like Rabbi Yehuda as far as whether the Yisr of Gidon Asher applies to both sides of the animal or only to one side of the animal. Our Mishnah holds it applies to both sides. Rabbi Yehuda holds it only applies to one side. So it says Gemara, Eimar d'shamad leil Rabbi Yehuda b'tmei d'isolav. Where do we find that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Yisr Gid is more chamur because it applies to Bnei Noach? That's on a behema tmeia, where the whole Yisr of eating a behema tmeia is only a lav. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Yisr Gid anasha, which is known by Bnei Noach, is more chamur than the Yisr of behema tmeia, and therefore could be chal on the Yisr of behema tmeia. But kachim disr kares mishamatle. But a behemas kachim, which is an isr kares, does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that the isr gid is more chamur than an isr kares? And it's going to be chal on that? Certainly not. It could be that the isr of gid anasha is not considered more chamur than the isr of kachim, and therefore you cannot prove from Rabbi Yehuda that the isr gid anasha is necessarily going to be chal on a behemas kachim. So this brings the Gemara to two additional answers. Again, answers to what? The Gemara asks, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah to tell me that the Yisr Gid Anasha applies to Mukdashim? So the Gemara says, oh, we must be talking about Vlados of Hekdish, because if it was a behema that was chulin that you were just Makdish, obviously the Yisr Gid Anasha applies. The Yisr Gid wouldn't disappear when you're Makdish an animal. So it must be that it's Vlados Kachim, and it all came at the same time, that the Yisr Gid and Hekdish, Mishas Yitziraso, all came at the same time. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, our Mishnah is talking about a Nefel prior to the Evarim and the Gidin coming together. So the Yisr Mukdashim came before the Yisr Gid. So because of that, we were stuck. And now the Gemara gives two additional answers. Elohacha b'mevakeres askinan diberechem kadosh. Our Mishnah must be talking about a behema mevakeres that's having its firstborn, where it's kadosh b'kedushas b'char, but it only becomes kadosh b'kedushas b'char when it leaves the rechem. So the Tanna is telling us that even though the Yisr of Gid Anasha is not going to be noeg by other behemas Mukdashim, because the Yisr Mukdashim comes before the Yisr Gid, but by this the Yisr Gid Anasha will apply because the Yisr Gid comes before the Kedushas Bechar. Meaning, since Kedushas Bechar does not apply from Yetziras Avlad, Kedushas Bechar only applies when it's Yotze Min Arechem. So the Yisr Gid had a chance to already be Chal, and that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. So again, if it's a regular Behemas Kachim that it was a Chulin animal that you were Makdish, there's no Chiddush. It's obvious that the Yisr Gid applies. If it's a regular Vlad Kachim, it's not true. The Yisr Gid shouldn't apply because the Yisr Gid can't be Chal on Behemas Hekdesh. So where do we have a case that it's true and it's a Chiddush? So that's by a Bechar, a Behemah Mevakeres, that the Yisr Gid is going to be Chal in utero, and the status of Hekdesh is only going to be Chal upon the birth of that animal. According to the opinion, the Mishnah that said that the Yisr Gid is knowing Bishlil, the Yisr Gid is for sure before the Yisra Hanna'ah of the Bukhar. But even if you say Gid Anasha is not knowing Bishlil, the Yisra of the Bukhar is not going to be Docha, the Yisra Gid, because it would both be Chal at the same time. So it's at least Chal at the same time in such a case. V'bayasema, and if you want to tell me that our Mishnah is talking about Vlados Kachim, so Vlados Kachim, Bav Yasinin, Kedoshim, maybe the Tan of our Mishnah holds that Vlados Kachim also only take on their Kedusha status when they leave the mother's body. And therefore the Yisra Gid preceded the status of Kachim, meaning the whole conversation up until this point has been assuming that Mishas Yetzira, that already at the time of conception, the fetus has the status of Kedusha. Maybe not. Maybe the status of Kedusha is only Chal when it comes when it's born, and therefore the Yisra Gid was already Chal prior to that. Okay, so now the Gemara says what sounds like a Machlokas. Amru Chibar Yosef, Lashonu Ela Kachim and Echalin. When the Chams say that an Yisra Gid applies to Kachim, that's only a Kachim that you eat. You eat a Karban Chatos, a Karban Asham, at least male Kohanim eat it in the Azara, a Karban Shlomim gets eaten by the Bailim, even outside of the Azara in all of Yerushalayim. So there are Karbanos that get eaten. And that's where the Yisra Gid is going to apply to Muktashim. When you're anyway eating the carbon. Aval kachim she'enu ne'echalim. But kachim that don't get eaten, that get burnt entirely, ain isur gid noig ben. Then there's not going to be an isur gid anasha. Rabbi Yochanan amar, but Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, or seems to disagree. Echad kachim ne'echalim, ve'echad kachim she'enu ne'echalim isur gid noig ben. Even kachim that don't get eaten have an isur gid. So again, the pashup shad is, they're arguing about a carbon ola, and is there an isur gid on a carbon ola? But says the Gemara, three interpretations of this of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan. Amrav Papa, interpretation number one is Velo Pligi. They're not arguing. Kanal Koso, Kanal Loso. One is about whether you get Malkus if you eat the Giranasha, and the other one was talking about whether you bring it on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Chiya said that who said that the Yisra of Giranasha is not going to be Noeg by Kachim that are in Einon Cholin is talking about bringing it up on the Mizbeach, that there's no Isser to be Makriv the Giranasha. So when he says that there's no din of Giranasha on Kachim Shein Echolin, he's saying that you don't have to distinguish the Giranasha from the rest of the animal and you're burning the whole thing anyway. Bring the whole thing on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yochanan says that the Yisra Gid is no egg even by Kachim Shein Echolin. He's not talking about bringing it on the Mizbeach. He agrees you bring the whole thing on the Mizbeach. He's talking about Achiv Malkus for eating the Giranasha of a carbon ola, meaning you're not allowed to eat a carbon ola anyway, but do you get Malkus for Achila's Gid of a carbon ola? And they both agree to both of those dinim, so they both agree that you take the Gid and you bring it with the rest of the carbon ola on the Mizbeach, and they both agree that if you eat the Giranasha, that you're going to be Chayv Malkus, there is no Machlokas. Ikadamri, another way of interpreting that which Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan are saying, is that Amar Rav Papa Velo Pligi, that Rav Papa also says, they are not arguing, but differently, that they're saying different things than what we just said previously. Kan l'cholzo, kan l'aloso. One is about removing the gid from the thigh prior to bringing it up on the Mizbeach, and the other is about bringing it up on the Mizbeach after you've already removed it. So Rabbi Chiya says that the Yisra Gid Anasha is not no egg for Kachim Shein Echalim, is talking about removing the Gid from the rest of the thigh. He says, you don't need to do that. You can bring it on the Mizbeach while the Gid is still in the thigh. And in that sense, the Yisra of Gid is not no egg by Kachim Shein Echalim, that you treat it just like the rest of the thigh of the animal. But Rabbi Yochanan says that the Yisra of Gid is no egg even by Kachim Shein Echalim. He's talking about bringing it on the Mizbeach, that you're not, that if it were to be separated from the rest of the animal, don't bring it on the Mizbeach by itself, because we still treat it like a Giranasha to a certain degree. So they both agree. They both agree to both of those dinim. They both agree that you don't need to separate it from the rest of the thigh. They both agree that if it were separated, you don't bring it on the Mizbeach on its own. And then a third understanding of what's going on with Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan, where they're actually arguing. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar La Lo So Pligi. They're arguing about being Mala Giranasha when it's still in the thigh. That's the machlokas of Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan. And they're going to have the same machlokas as we're about to demonstrate was already machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Chiya, who says that there's no Yisra Gid Anasha on Kachim Shein Echalim, is going to hold like Rebbe that you're allowed to bring it on the Mizbeach when it's inside the thigh of the animal, it's connected to the thigh of the animal. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the Yisra Gid is no egg, even by Kachim Shein Echalim, is going to hold like the Rabbanan, that even when the Gid is still in the thigh, you're not allowed to bring it on the Mizbeach. That they're arguing whether you're allowed to be Mala on the Mizbeach, a thigh with a Gid Anasha inside of it. Titania, where do we find that there's such a machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan that is that parallels this machlokas between Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan? Titania, we have a Braisa. Says as follows. Pasuk tells us, "Victor Hakoines Hakol Hamizbecha LeRabus Hatzamus Vagidim Rakarnayim VaTzalafayim." That you bring the entire korban olah on the mizbech, and that means with the bones and the sinews and the horns and the hooves, the whole thing. So Yachal Afilu Parshu, you might even think that if they're separated from the basar, that you should even be makter all these things. Tamalomer. That's why the pasuk says by the korban olah VaSisa Olosecha. Habasar v'adam sounds like only the basar v'adam and not all the other parts of the korban olah. Well, I basar v'adam, if it's only the basar v'adam, yachol yachlo tkidim v'atzamos. I might think that you should remove all the sinews and bones and hooves and horns and take them all off and only bring the basar v'adam on the mizbech. V'yala basar l'gabim mizbech, and just bring the basar on the mizbech or the basar v'adam. So tamil omar, that's why the pasuk has say v'ktar koin es hakol ha-mizbecha. So it's a stira. It's shnei k'suvim ha-machishim ze'ezeh. Right? You have one pasuk that tells me that only the basar v'dam, and you have another pasuk that says hakol, that all the entire animal. So how do we reconcile this stira? Mechubarin, if the atzamos and the gidin and the kranayim and the talpayim and all of that are still attached to the basar, then yalu, then you bring the entire korban olah on the mizbech with all the atzamos and the gidin and everything else. But parshu, if the atzamos and the gidin are separated from the basar, then afilu brosh hashal mizbech yerdu. Then even if they're already on the rosh hashal mizbech, you bring them down, not to burn them in the zvech. So mantana de shamadle de omar parshu yardu. Who's the tana that holds that if they separate from the rest of the animal, you take them off of the mizbech? Rebbe he. We know that that's the shita of Rebbe. Titania, because we have a brisa that confirms that that's Rebbe's shita, because the brisa darshans the pasuk by a korban olah vihikter hakohen es hakol lerabus hatzamos vagidim v'akarnayim v'atlapayim. That vihikter hakohen es hakol means that you burn the entire korban olah with the hooves and the horns and the bones and the sinews, the whole thing v'afilu pirshu. And even if they are separated from the basar, you still burn all of it. What do I then do with the pasuk v'asisa l'secha ha-basar v'adam? Sounds like you don't burn the gidim atzamos, only the basar and the dam. So the brisa tells us the pasuk is not coming to tell me not to burn the gidim atzamos. It's coming to tell me bepokin, that if pieces of basar jump off of the mizbech and fall onto the ground, ha-ketzad ikule basar atamachzir. If it's pieces of basar that pop off of the mizbech, you put those back on. But viata machziri kuli gidim vatzamos. So the Tanakama, the Rabbanon hold, you burn the whole thing. The gidim vatzamos, kranayim, tlapayim, basar dam, the whole thing. Why does it only mention basar dam? Because basar vadam are the only things that if it were to pop off of the mizbech, you'd put it back on the mizbech. The other things you wouldn't put back on. Rebbe Omer, but Rebbe disagrees. And he says, kasavech rama viktar kohen, es hakol. So that's Reba. That tells me everything. Because of Echrom, and another pasuk says, "Va'asisal l'secha habasar v'adam." So miyate. That's very limiting. That it's only habasar v'adam. Okay, so how do we reconcile them? Chubarin yalu parshu afilu berosh shel mizbech yardu. That if the basar and is attached to the gidim atzamos are attached to the basar, you bring it on the mizbech. But if they ever get separated, even if they're already on the mizbech, bring them down. So you see beferish in this brisa that Rebbe holds that if the atzamos and the gidim are separated from the basar, they don't go on the mizbech. So the first brisa is like Rebbe that any atzamos v'gidim that are separated from the basar do not go on the mizbech. V'rabbanan mechubaran l'itzurchal rabuye, and the rabbanan will tell me that the pasuk v'ikter hakohen es hakol, I don't need it to tell me that the atzamos that are attached to the basar should be brought on the mizbech. Midadava rosh shalola, it's just like the head of a korban olah. There's so many bones in the head, and obviously you bring the head on the mizbech, so you see that you bring the bones on the mizbech. I don't need another pasuk to tell me that you bring a attached bones on the mizbech. Kisikra leparshu. The whole pasuk is only needed to tell me if it falls off of the mizbech, what I do. To tell me that the atzamos that are mutter, even if they're porish min abasar, you bring them onto the mizbech. V'rebi mechubarin, not if they fall off the mizbech. Kisikra leparshu, if they get separated from the basar, that you bring them up onto the mizbech. That's what the pasuk is telling me. When the atzamos are attached to the basar, obviously you bring it on the mizbech, because the pasuk talks about bringing the head of the olah on the mizbech. So obviously there are bones attached to it. The chiddush of the pasuk is that even if the bones are separated from the basar, you bring the bones on the mizbech. The Rebbe mechubarin dehatera, the atzamos of heter that are attached to the basar, lo iser kol rabuye. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that you should bring them on the Mizbech, because I learned that from the head of the Karban Olah that's brought on the Mizbech. Ki Yitzchra L'Giranasha B'Mechubar. The whole Pasuk is coming to teach me about the Giranasha, which is a Gid that's Asr Ba'achila. And nevertheless, that's the Chiddush of the Pasuk, that if you have a Gid that you're not allowed to eat, it's a Giranasha, and it's Mechubar to the Basar, you bring it up on the Mizbech. And that cannot be learned from the Rosh of the Olah, because the Rosh of the Olah is Mutar Ba'achila. There is no Giranasha in the Rosh of the Olah. So that's what the Pasuk is coming to teach me. V'Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan hold that a Giranasha cannot be brought on the Mizbeach, even when it's Mechubar, even when it's still attached to the rest of the thigh, because it says in the Nevuas Yecheskel about the Karbanos that we're going to bring, La'asad Lavo, in Yecheskel Mem Hei, the Torah describes, V'sa'a Achas Minatzom, and Amasayim, Mihamashke Yisrael, it's Hatriso, Mimashke Yisrael, means Minamutuli Yisrael, that only that which is mutul Yisrael, but a Giranasha, which is also Yisrael, cannot be brought on the Mizbech. And therefore, they dash on the Pasuk to be marbe gidim v'atzamos hamutarim, that even if they are, if they're pirshu, even if they separate from the basar, you bring the mutter gidim v'atzamos, but not the asr, not the Giranasha, v'rebi mididav, achil v'dam. And Rebbe says, no, you could bring the Giranasha on the Mizbech, even though it's asr ba'achila, because just like chil v'dam is asr ba'achila, and nevertheless, the Torah says that you makravid on the Mizbech. So the same over here. So what does the Pasuk Mashke Yisrael come to be Mimait? Trefa, where the whole carbon is going to be Aser. But a kosher carbon, you bring it entirely on the Mizbech, including the Gid. V'Rabbanan mitzvasim kachshayni. And the Rabbanan will say, what do you mean? The Chelev and the Dam, that's the whole carbon. That's the whole Iker part of the carbon that gets brought on the Mizbech. The Gid Anasha is not the Iker carbon, and therefore it should not be brought on the Mizbech. So in the end of the day, what is the Machlokes between Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan? The very same machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan, whether the Gid Hanasha of a Karban Olah ever gets brought on the Mizbeach, that if it's to be Mala Gid Hanasha that's inside the thigh of the animal, do you bring it on the Mizbeach or not? Rebbe says yes, the Rabbanan say no, and that's the machlokas, Rebbe Chiya and the Rabbanan, as Rebbe Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan as well. Okay, so now says the Gemara, Amra Funa, Gid Hanasha Shal Olah Choltzol L'Tapuach, that the Gid Hanasha of a Karban Olah, you take it out of the thigh before you maktir it, before you maktir the animal, and you just throw it straight on the pile of ashes that are in the middle of the Mizbech. They would pile all the ashes to the middle of the Mizbech, because that was a noy of the Mizbech. It was a way of beautifying the Mizbech, as a way of demonstrating, look how many karbonos have been brought and have been burnt over here. And when the pile got out of hand and started touching the Atzei Ma'aracha, so then they would bring the ashes out Michutz Machne. Right, that's Tzoras Hadesh, and the Pasuk Parshas Tzav, Votzias Hadesh Michutz Machne. But that's the Tapuach. So Rav Huna says, the Gid Hanasha of a Karban Olah, you remove it from the thigh, and you put it straight on the Tapuach. Amar Rav Chista, Mari Dichi, Miksiv Alkein Lo Yochal HaMizbeach? Alkein Lo Yochal B'nei Yisrael Ksiv. What do you mean? You're not going to burn the Gid Hanasha with the rest of the thigh? Is there a Pasuk in the Torah that I'm unaware of that says that the Mizbeach is not allowed to eat a Gid Hanasha? We're not allowed to eat a Gid Hanasha. The Mizbeach is allowed to eat a Gid Hanasha. So Rav Huna answers Rav Chista, Mimashke Yisrael, Minamutul Yisrael, that you only bring karbonos from that which you're allowed to eat. The Gid Hanasha is Asur Ba'achila, and therefore you cannot be Makriv the Gid Hanasha, because you're not allowed to eat it. The Ritva points out, L'chor, this Machlok, because Rav Huna and Rav Chista is exactly the machlokas, meaning it should sound familiar. It's exactly the machlokas Rebbe and the Rabbanan that we just learned. Are you makriv Gid Hanasha on the Mizbech? Do you burn the Gid Hanasha of an Olah on the Mizbech? According to Rebbe, you're makdir the Gid Hanasha, and that aligns with Rav Chista. And according to the Rabbanan, we're not makdir the Gid Hanasha, and that aligns with Rav Huna, that you just put it straight on the tapuach. So why does Gemara not say Lema Kitanoi? Right? That's what we normally do when you have a machlokas Tanaim and then you have a machlokas Amroim and the same thing. Why not say Lema? So the Ritva says that the Tanaim already argue about this, but since their machlokas is not beferish, it was a limud of the Tanaim, meaning we had a whole analysis of these brises to try to figure out what the Tanaim are talking about, so we don't say Lema Ketanai. Lema Ketanai is like a kasha, that why are the Amoraim even bothering with this? We already know this as from the Tanaim. It's not so obvious from the Tanaim. This took a little bit of limud to draw this out of the words of the Tanaim. Okay, so Mace. So the Gemara challenges. Gid Hanasha Shel Shlamim, if you have a Gid Hanasha of a carbon shlamim, what do they do with it? They pull it out of the thigh, and mechabdalama, they throw it into the yamas hamayim that goes through the azara, which is like the drainage system of the azara. Rashi is bothered. What's a gidanash of a carbon shlamim doing in the azara? Meaning a carbon shlamim gets eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. So what are they bringing it back to the azara for? Just to have dispose of a gidanash? So he says maybe the girs is not proper over here. Maybe it doesn't mean gidanash of shlamim. It just means not an Ola, like a chatas and an asham. Chatas and asham have to be eaten in the azara. It's kachim kachim, it's not kachim kalim, so it has to be eaten in the azara. But it is nechal, it's not a carbon ola. So maybe that's what it's talking about. Or maybe he says it's the chaz of a shok of a carbon shlamim, because the chaz of a shok, meaning the gid is in the shok. So it's the chaz of a shok is a matnus kuhuna. And in a chinami, it could be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, but you got to go where the kohanim are to give it to the kohanim. So the kohanim do rov of their achila in the azara. So that's why you have this gid in the azara. But anyway, the gid anosh of a carbon shlamim, if they throw it in the drainage system, v'shal ola, and a gid anosh of a carbon ola, ma'aleihu, they bring up on the mizbech. My love, ma'aleihu, maktiro. Doesn't that mean that they burn it on the mizbech? And that's Akash and Ravuna, who says that they just chuck it on the tapuach. Lo, ma'aleihu v'choltso. He'll say, no, ma'aleihu means you put it on the tapuach. You remove it from the thigh, and you put it on the tapuach. U'me'achar sh'choltso, lo, ma'aleihu. But if you're just going to remove it from the thigh, why are they bringing it on the mizbech anyway? Meaning, what's the svara over here? I understand you want to tell me, remove the gilanash and get rid of it before you bring the animal on the mizbech. I understand that, fine. I understand you leave the gilanash in and burn it with the rest of the animal on the mizbech. I get that also. But why would you bring it on the mizbech only to not treat it like the rest of the carbonola and just to put it on the tapuach? Mishum Shnemar, because the pasuk says Hakriveu no lefachasecha, that you're going to go present to the Ribbono Shalom, you're going to go present an animal to the Ribbono Shalom, and it's going to have a big piece ripped out of it. Would you ever bring such a gift to your governor? So when you bring it up on the mizbech, it's got to look nice. Elamai, you can't burn the gid. So once you get there, take the gid out and throw it straight on the tapuach. But at least when you're makrav it, it's got to look nice. Tanya Kavasid Ravuna, we have a brisa that says like Ravuna, gid anasha shal that a gid anash of a carbon shlamim they just throw into the yama, and the of a carbon ola they bring it to the tapuach, meaning they don't burn it on the mizbech. They take the gid anash out once it's on the mizbech, and they put it on that giant pile of ashes. How giant is that pile of ashes? Tanan asam. So the Mishnah says in Maseches Tamid, tapuach hayavem to mizbech pa'amim haya alav kishlosh meos kor. Sometimes there was 300 kor of ashes on the mizbech. Amarava guzma. Rava says that's obviously an exaggeration. There was never 300 kor, because you have to keep in mind the math, that a kor is 30 sa'ah. A sa'ah is 6 kavin. A kav is 4 log. A log is 6 beitzim. So, that comes out to a lot. It comes out to more than can fit on the mizbech. So once the Gemara brings that we speak b'lashon guzma, so the Mishnah says hishkues, we'll bring other cases that are b'lashon guzma, hishkues hatamid b'koshal zav, that they give the carbon tamid water to drink. They want to make it easier to skin it afterwards, so it needs to be well hydrated, but they give it water to drink in a golden goblet, in a golden cup. So I'm rav a guzma, what are you feeding an animal in a golden cup? There was no golden cup that they're feeding it. It's a guzma. It means that they use nechoshes, but it's shone like gold. Amar Rabbi Yami, that the Torah speaks in the manner of the way people speak, where there's a little bit of a lie in the way that we speak. We don't speak 100% accurately. Dibru Neviim Lashonavai, and the Neviim as well. Dibru Chacham Lashonavai, and the Chacham as well. So Dibru Chacham Lashonavai Adamar. We already proved that the Chacham speak in such a way. Dibru Torah Lashonavai. Where do we find that the Torah speaks that way? So this week's parsha, right? Yesterday I wasn't sure. This one I'm sure. This is Parsha Zekev, where the Torah says Arum Gdolos v'tzoros bashamayim, that these are cities that are fortified in heaven. So that's obviously Lashon Guzma. These cities are not bashamayim. Now the Tiferes Yaakov points out, why do we wait until Parsha Zekev? Already in Parsha's Devarim it says, Ana anachnu olim achenu hemasos levavenu lemor am gadol v'rami menu arum gdolos v'tzoros bashamayim gam b'nei anakum re'inu sham. So it already says gdol v'tzoros bashamayim. So the Tiferes Yaakov explains, that was them quoting the Meraglim. They were saying, we're terrified. terrified because the Meraglim said that that there's a Bitzaros L'Shamayim. So that just proves that people speak B'Lashon Havayi. We're trying to prove that the Torah itself speaking in first person is B'Lashon Havayi. So we have to wait for Parshas Ekev because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking. Dibru Nevi'im L'Shon Havayi. The Nevi'im speak L'Shon Havayi because by the Hamlacha of Shlomo HaMelech Vatibaka Ha'aretz B'Kolam that it was such a Simcha Gedola that the earth shattered. It was an earth shattering sound. So it wasn't actually, there was no earthquake, but it speaks B'Lashon Havayi. Amar Rabbi Yisrael Bar Nachmani Amar Shmuel B'Shlosh HaMakamos Dibru Chum L'Shon Havayi. There are three places where the Chum speak L'Shon Havayi. It's interesting, it doesn't mention the Kos Shel Zahav as one of them. We're about to say three, and Kos Shel Zahav is not one of them. So apparently this opinion holds, they actually gave the Karban Talmud Kos Shel Zahav. So Eluin Tapuach Gefen and Proches. The three exaggerations are Tapuach, Gefen, and Proches. Tapuach HaDamar. The Tapuach, that's what we spoke about, that's the giant pile of ashes on the Mizbeach, that I guess was shaped like an apple. Gefen Detanan, where do we find that there's an exaggeration about a Gefen? The Mishnah Midos. Gefen Shel Zahav Haisa Omedes Al Pischo Shel Heichal. There was a golden grapevine on the entranceway of the Heichal. Umud Al Gabi Klunsos, and was supported by wooden posts. V'kol Mishayim Misnadev Gargir O Eshkol Mevi V'talaba. And if you wanted to donate gold to the Beis HaMikdash and they didn't need it anymore for the tzipoy of the walls of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so they would use it to make another grape on the grapevine. They needed 300 kwanim to move it from one place to the other. And that's a guzma. You don't really need 300 kwanim to move the golden grapevine. Paroches, where do we find paroches as a guzma? Paroches of Yatefach. The paroches was a tefach thick. Rashi writes that some say it was the paroches between the ulam, which was 40 amos high and 20 amos wide, and some say that it was the paroches that was mavdil between the kodesh and the kodesh hakadoshim. Now the second pshat that it's kodesh hakadoshim is what Rashi says in Maseches Tamid, and it's going to make sense because we're about to say that they made two of them. So if they made two of them each year, but to separate between the kodesh hakadoshim, there was an amma of space. So they needed two of them in order to cover that space, and there was a space in between. So anyway, it was Ovya Tefach, it was a Tefach thick, Valshim Mushnaim Nirim Nereges, and it was 72 looms that they wove it on, Valkal Nima Onima, and each of the strands was Eshmar Balchutin, was twisted with 24 thin strings, Arkar Boim Ba'ama, and it was 40 amos long, Verachba Eshm Ba'ama, 20 amos wide, Umishmon Mishte Ribo Nases, and it was made with 820,000 strands. Ushtayim osim b'shanan. They would make two of these every year. V'sholosh me'as kohanim at bilinosa. And it took 300 kohanim to be tovelit in the mikvah. It doesn't really take 300 kohanim. That's the lashon guzma. The Gra explains that it was 40 amos by 20 amos, which is a total around the edge of 120 amos. And since all the klei hamikdash are an amabas chamisha tvachim, so it turns out that the hekif of the proches was 600 tvachim. So if it's 600 tvachim and all the kohanim are grabbing it with every kohen wants to get a hand on it, so everyone's grabbing it with two hands, so that means 300 kohanim because each fist is tefach. So that's why they came up with this guzma as a way of saying the chavivus that the kohanim have to grab onto it. That was the gruz ha'ara of why they came up with that number. By the way, when we speak about speaking B'Lashon Guzma, there's a question whether you're allowed to speak that way. Meaning, isn't it a lie? Isn't this just a fancy way of saying that people lie when we say that they speak B'Lashon Guzma? So the Achronim, Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted, and others bring a raya from here that it's not a violation of Midvar Sheker Tirchak. It's just the way that that people tell stories. They tell stories about levayas and about weddings and they always speak B'Lashon Guzma. There would be no Haredi press if you couldn't speak B'Lashon Guzma. The whole Rav Asher Weiss always makes fun that the Kvetch Vetch Rebbe had a historic visit to the Alta Baba's Kever in Ukraine. Historic. I'm not even talking about it today, let alone in 100 years from now, no one's going to talk about it, right? So that's they speak B'Lashon Guzma. Okay, so B'Yerek Shal Yiminu B'Yerek Shal Smal. The Gid HaNasha is both on the right side and the left side. So Masis No Rabbi Yehuda, that's against Rabbi Yehuda. Titania Rabbi Yehuda Amrein Noegel Ba'achas V'Adas Machras Eshal Yimin. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's only on one side, and probably that means the right. right side. So Yibayilu Mifsha Pshitle Rabbi Yehuda Umay Das Das Torah. When he says that Hadas Machras, that's the right side gid, does that mean that he's sure about that? And Das means that's what the Torah says. Odil Masfuki Misafkele Umay Das Das Nota. Or maybe he's not sure. He just thinks it's most logical that it would be on the right side. As, Rashi says that why would it be logical? Because he's picturing a wrestling match between the Malach and Yaakov, and the Malach hit him with his right hand, and when you're reaching around the guy's body, I mean, your right is across from his left. When you reach around his body, you'll reach all the way to his right side. So that's probably where he hit Yaakov, and that's probably why it's Das Nota that it's the right side. So we're not sure. We're not sure if Rabbi Yehuda was certain that it was the right side, or if Rabbi Yehuda himself was mesupik whether it's the right side. So the Gemara is going to start to bring rayas. I thought we'd get to it, but we're not going to get to raya number one and the three rejections, and then more rayas tomorrow. So Be'ez Hashem, we'll get to the rayas tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.